It's truly been a wonderful blessing to be here together worshiping the Lord this weekend, and we've certainly felt the love of the Lord in this place in a wondrous and a special way. I'm reminded of when Ruth and Naomi came back to Bethlehem, Judah. They had been in the land of Moab. They come back, and the Bible tells us that the city was moved about them. And I believe the city of Bethlehem, Judah, was moved about Ruth and Naomi in love and compassion and grace. And I felt, and I know Sister Emily has as well, because we've talked about it, have felt the city of God moved about us this weekend. We appreciate your love. We appreciate your labors. We've so enjoyed the hospitality of the Miller's home. And they've been so gracious and so wonderful. And we felt the love of the Lord in a special way as we've been with y'all. We know that's a love that comes only from Him. And we know that that's a love that we experience when Christ Himself is blessed to be with us in His house. And I believe He's with us this morning. We ask, Lord, do not leave, but please continue to be with us. Appreciate all the song leaders that have led songs and every prayer that's been prayed, every message that has been preached by these faithful ministers. We thank the Lord for your pastor and his family and for what they mean to us. We ask that you continue to pray. I've never known anything else to do as far as knowing what to preach on than to simply pray to the Lord, seek His guidance, say, Lord, burden my heart, and then it's up to me to listen. Had another subject on my mind, and I got this subject, a different subject on my mind early this morning, and it came hard. And so all I know to do is listen and trust that it's of the Lord. It's an extremely familiar passage of Scripture. It's probably the first chapter in the Bible I ever committed to memory. And it's the 23rd Psalm. The psalmist David would begin by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What better person could the Lord have used to pen this psalm than David, the great shepherd king? David knew what it was like to be a shepherd. You might recall that when when the prophet Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse to anoint a king, an under-shepherd over Israel, that Samuel went and began to look at the sons of Jesse. He saw Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me." He was tall and he looked like a king. And God tells Samuel, He said, look not on his outward appearance, for the Lord does not see like man sees. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And he goes through all of Jesse's sons. And he said, none of these are him. Do you not have any more sons? And he said, there's one, but he keepeth the sheep. Samuel said, go and bring him. We'll not sit till he comes. And when David came from keeping his father's sheep, God tells Samuel, this is the one. Anoint him king over Israel. David knew what it was like to care for sheep. David knew what it was like to love sheep. David knew what it was like to love the sheep so much he would risk his life for just one little sheep. When Goliath comes up and is taunting the armies of Israel, And all of Israel is, the Bible would say, dismayed and greatly afraid. David would say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And David would say, is there not a cause? They have challenged and have disrespected our God. And David said, I'll go and fight the giant. That was the only taker to go against Goliath that Saul had. But Saul resisted. And he said, David, you're just a boy. And Goliath's been fighting since he was a boy. And David tells him a story. He basically said, there was one time, O king, a lion came and got one of my father's sheep. And I went out and I slew that lion and I got my sheep and I brought him back home. There was another occasion when a bear had come and taken one of his father's sheep, and he went out and he slew that bear and he got that sheep and he brought that sheep back home. Now you think about that a moment. David was willing to go after a lion. David was willing to go after a bear because he loved one little sheep of his father's sheep that much. He was willing to freely risk his life for the sheep, for one sheep. And we look at our Lord, the greater shepherd, the greater David, who was not only willing to risk his life for the sheep, but was willing to freely lay down his life for the sheep. That's the shepherd we have. David knew the love of a shepherd. David was the shepherd. He was called the shepherd of Israel. He was the king of Israel. He was the one that God had anointed to take care of his people Israel. But David realized that not only Israel needed a shepherd. David realized he, as the king of Israel and as the under shepherd of Israel, he needed a shepherd. And so do we today. Gospel ministers are under shepherds, but we need a shepherd. And the Lord is our shepherd. Imagine literally this morning, you are a sheep because you are. What's the life of a sheep like? It all depended on who your shepherd is. You see, every shepherd was not a good shepherd. If you look in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, God Almighty would condemn some leaders of Israel that were supposed to be shepherds of Israel, but they weren't doing their job the way they should have been. In Ezekiel chapter 34, it would say, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. If you were a sheep under a shepherd like that, your life was tough. As Brother Paul was praying in his good humble prayer, he talked about how we need to come along each other and help each other and help those that are diseased and those that are sick and those that are downtrodden and those that are hurting. These shepherds weren't doing that. So what does the Lord say? Verse 11 of Ezekiel chapter 34, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search, listen, my sheep. He said, these sheep are mine. I love them, and they are my sheep. And numerous times in this chapter, he'll say, they're my sheep. They're my flock. They're mine. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. He goes on and says, verse 14, I'll feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good field, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I'll cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I'll seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and I'll bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I'll feed them with judgment. So we see the difference between a bad shepherd and the Lord as the good shepherd. It made all the difference in the world to the sheep. David would say, the Lord is my shepherd. You see, not only are we the Lord's sheep, but he is my shepherd. It's very personal both ways. It's personal for the Lord to us, and it's personal from us to the Lord. He said the Lord is, and I think he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ here. The Lord is, not was, not will be. The Lord is my shepherd. Right now, Psalms chapter 46, the psalmist would say, God is our refuge and strength. Not he was, not he will be. God is our refuge and strength, a present help, a very present help in trouble. That's one of the things about a shepherd. A good shepherd was present with the sheep. He was there. What would have happened if David hadn't have been there when the wolf came? When the bear came. What would have happened if he had not been there when the lion came? He wouldn't be in there to save that little sheep. And the Lord is a present help in trouble. You know, there's sometimes I've been in trouble, and that word trouble can mean distress, it can mean adversity, it can mean all kinds of, it's a broad term for all the trials and the tribulations and the dangers and the difficulties we could go through in life. There's been times I've been in trouble when there were folks that would have loved to help me, but they weren't present and they couldn't help me. The Lord's always a very present help in trouble. Working through college, I worked as a security officer up at the mall in Oxford. And there would be times where people would be banned from the mall because they had caused trouble. And it was the job of the security officers to tell those people when you saw them, sorry, but our mall manager has banned you from these premises and you're not allowed to come. Well, we would have a group of youngsters from Job Corps in Batesville, which was a very good organization that tried to get troubled youth onto the right path. And they would bring a big old bus out to the mall. The problem was they weren't really rehabilitated yet. So every time they came to the mall, there would be a ton of shoplifting, there would be fights, there would be all kind of problems. So our mall manager had said, they can't come anymore. Well, I'm out there working one night, I'm like 20 years old, and I see the big Job Corps bus drive up. And I'm like, uh-oh. And I go up to that bus, they're fixing to all get off, and I go up to that bus and the driver gets off and he's about 6'8" tall. And I'm looking up at him, I'm like, sir, I hate to tell you this, but my mall manager says y'all are not allowed to come here. You cannot unload this bus. Well, I really needed my partner's help, who was probably a middle-aged man, a lot more mature in life than I was, but he wasn't very present. I turned around and he was about 50 feet behind me. And I'm like, are you just leaving this to me? Yes, he was. I needed a present help. Now, that's just a small little illustration, but you can fill in the blanks with your experience. There's times we need help. We need help that has to be present. There's been many a times I've needed backup of police, and those sirens would sound really good. I knew help was coming. I could hear them coming. But until they got present, they really couldn't give me the help that I needed. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord, our shepherd, is always a very present help. Not just present, but abundantly present help in time of trouble. He's the good shepherd that not only risked his life for the sheep, he's the good shepherd that laid down his life, that giveth his life for the sheep. He said, David would say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means I'm not going to lack for anything. My shepherd loves me, and my shepherd's willing to do whatever it takes to take care of me. No, by the way, my shepherd owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. My shepherd is rich, and his storehouse never runs dry. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Says he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. How does a shepherd make sheep lie down? Does he go out there and he take his rod or staff and say, you better lie down, sheep, you better lie down? No. You know, I studied some of the labors of a Middle Eastern shepherd many years ago, and there's a few things that have to take place for a sheep to feel comfortable enough to lie down. One of the things, a sheep cannot be afraid or fearful, or they will not lie down. A sheep can't be burdened with the little things, like little parasites that would get after the sheep. Sheep would have a little thing called nose flies that would, little insects that would get up into their nose, and it would trouble the sheep so greatly that a sheep would literally start beating its head on a rock wall trying to get rid of these parasites, but it wouldn't work. Sometimes a sheep would literally beat itself to death trying to get rid of these little nose flies. Isn't sometimes it's the little things in life that can get us down? Sometimes the little things can bother us tremendously. But you know, we have a shepherd that's able to take care of the little things. A shepherd could anoint. One of the reasons he would anoint the sheep with oil was to get rid of these nose flies. And I'm going to tell you, whatever's bothering us in our life, our shepherd is bigger than that. If a sheep was afraid, he couldn't lie down. What would make a sheep afraid? Hearing the roar of a lion would. Hearing the roar of a wolf or the roar of a bear, that scares little sheep. And we can be scared of things that happen to us in our life, and we can be very fearful and unsettled, and we just can't lie down. But you know, I'm told that when the little sheep would hear the roar of one of their adversaries, the wolf or the lion or the bear, that just hearing the sound of the shepherd's voice, would give them comfort and peace because they knew that shepherd loved them. And just hearing the sound of his voice, they knew everything is going to be okay. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you're worried and you're afraid? But the Lord in his sweet voice, we sing a song, yes, he whispers to me. He whispers sweet peace to me. Just one little sheep, when I'm cast down and troubled in soul, he whispers sweet peace to me. Our Lord is able to take care of our fear. Our Lord is able to take care of the big things that scare us, and he's able to take care of the little things that bother us so badly and can just get under our skin, those little nose flies. You know, a sheep cannot lie down if they're hungry. It's hard to go to bed hungry, isn't it? And a sheep can't lie down if it's hungry. But one of the main goals of the shepherd is to take care of the sheep all the way around. But a big part of that is feeding the sheep. You know, the Lord's always been interested that his sheep be fed. That's why the Lord Jesus, one of the miracles that was recorded that actually occurred in all four of the gospel accounts was when the Lord Jesus fed the 5,000 men, not counting women and children. He wanted folks to be fed. And the Lord miraculously provided for the food on that occasion. He took 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, and he worked a great miracle. He fed. Nobody left hungry. Bible tells us that there were 12 baskets full left over. The disciples had said, we got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? It's not near enough. Well, in the hands of the disciples, it wouldn't be, but I'll tell you, in the hands of our shepherd, the Lord Jesus, it would be more than enough. The Lord's able to feed. He told Peter, after Peter had denied him 3 times, the last time with a curse on his lips, the Lord Jesus had met him there on the shore. I'm sure Peter was wondering, what's he going to say to me? You know what he said? He said, come and dine. There's still a place for you, Peter, at my table. Come and dine. And he tells Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my lambs. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my sheep. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my sheep. You know, I'm sure Peter was wondering after, as much as I've failed the Lord, I've denied even that I knew the Lord 3 times, and the last time with a curse on my lip, how can I show the Lord that I really do love him? The Lord told him, Peter, feed my sheep. You take care of my sheep. They're not your sheep, Peter. They're my sheep. Peter, you don't feed them food from yourself. You feed them the food I give you. You don't want what Mark Quarles. You don't want Mark Quarles' food. I can tell you that. But the disciples, what did they do when Jesus fed the 5,000? The disciples were blessed to get it out, give out the food. But they didn't do the miracle. The miracle came from the Lord. So he's able to take care of the fear of the sheep, the nose flies of the sheep. He's able to take care of the hunger of the sheep because the Lord's able to feed us just what we need. He feeds us the perfect diet. If I choose my own food, I'm going to get the wrong thing. That's why my belt looks like it only goes halfway around because I choose the wrong thing. Lord knows just what we need. And that's one of the reasons we need to be praying for our ministers and our pastors. Lord, give them what the congregation needs. Lord, we don't know what we need, but you know what we need. Lord, please give it. He said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, giving us just the food that we need. He leadeth me beside the still waters. One of the things a shepherd does, he leads. He leads us where we need to go. You know, I'm told that sheep will just keep eating and eating in the same place. And if the shepherd doesn't lead them to other food, they'll just eat stuff all the way to the ground where it's nothing but dirt, but they ain't moving unless the shepherd leads. I'm going to tell you, our good shepherd will always lead us wherever we need to go. We sang that song, wherever he leads, I'll go. He leads us beside the still waters, the peaceful waters. This world can't give us peace. This world can't give us grace. So oftentimes people look for the problems that go on in our culture and our society. They look to the leaders of this world and think maybe they can bring us peace and rest. But that never comes from man. The letters that the Apostle Paul would write, he'd usually say, grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one that's really able to lead us by the still, peaceful waters of comfort and rest is our Lord, our good shepherd. He said, he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. You know, man has done a pretty good job about helping us be comfortable on the outside. We have nice AC. We have comfortable cars. We have comfortable beds. We have comfortable recliners that have all kind of adjustments to get us just as comfortable as we can be. But man's never been able to figure out how to make us comfortable on the inside. David said, he restoreth my soul. What do we do when our soul is cast down? The psalmist would write in another place, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? There's times when we don't have peace on the inside. When our soul is cast down and despondent, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? What's the answer? Hope thou in God. He's the only one who's able to restore our soul. He's the only one that's able to give us comfort and rest and peace on the inside. You know, there's literally a condition that a sheep can get in that's called being cast down. And it's when a sheep gets in a place where they're flat on their back and they cannot get back up on their feet. And they can die in that position. I remember a few years ago there was an article, and I don't remember the country this was in. It was in a foreign country, and there was a cast down sheep on its back, totally unable to get up. And two police officers found it and set that sheep back on its feet. I'm really convinced that that was probably the condition of the sheep when the Lord told the account, what man of you, if you have 100 sheep, will not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go till he find the one sheep that's lost? And when he findeth that sheep, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Why did he lay it on his shoulder? Why didn't he just lead it back? Maybe the sheep had been cast down. And maybe the sheep, in trying to get down from its cast down position, do what a lot of sheep does, that they flail their legs so much trying to get up on their own that they actually break their own legs. They can't walk. But you know, the shepherd has a remedy for that. He put that one little sheep on his shoulders and he took it home rejoicing over just one. Every little sheep matters to the Lord. Every single one. How would a sheep get cast down? Sometimes a sheep gets cast down, they're, you know, a sheep's wool just keeps growing and growing. And if somebody doesn't shear it, it just keeps growing. And sometimes that sheep's wool gets so big, it gets, let's say, too big for its britches, for lack of a better way to say it. And they get so big that they'll roll over and can't get up. They're cast down. You know, in Revelation chapter 3, the Lord would write to the church at Laodicea. He say, "Thou sayest thou art rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest thou not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." We don't need to get too big for our britches. I sure don't. We don't need to forget that we're unworthy of the least of the mercies of God. But we also don't need to forget what Isaiah would write, that we are precious in his sight. That's why he would lay down his life for us, because we're precious in his sight. That's why he would shed his precious blood for us on Calvary's tree, because we are precious in his sight. Sometimes sheep would go to the easy place. You know, the Lord's called us to follow him in a faithful walk of discipleship, and he describes that in the Sermon on the Mount as the straight gate and the narrow way. That's not the way to get to heaven. That's not what he's talking about. He's not saying walk this straight gate and narrow way and that's the way that you gain eternal life. What that's about is the faithful following of Jesus in discipleship. He said, don't take the broad way and the wide gate. It's the path that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. Sometimes the sheep would take the easy way, and they would take the hold out places that were real comfortable and easy, where a lot of sheep had been before, or a lot of folks had been before, and they roll in that easy place, the places that the world likes us to go to, and they roll over and get in that cast down position and not be able to get up. What a horrible place for a sheep to be. But the shepherd's able to remedy that. He's able to get the cast down sheep. He's able to restore our soul. He's able to put us back on our feet, to take us out of the miry clay, to set our feet upon a rock and establish our goings. He's able to remedy the terrible problem of being a cast down sheep, where there's nothing we can do, where we're despondent in and of, our soul is cast down. But he's able to put us back on our feet. He puts us on his shoulders. He takes us back home. Said, he leadeth me. Again, that personal pronoun. Leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He leads us in the right way, in the good way. That's why wherever he leads, we should go. Because he'll always lead us in the good way. His word will always tell us the right way to go, the good way to go. He'll always lead us in the right way, the way of truth, the way of blessing. He said, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. The rod of a shepherd could fend off the enemies of the sheep. The rod of the shepherd would also, they go under the rod and you'd count the sheep. Make sure they're all there, because again, every little sheep's important. I frequently get escape letters from the Federal Bureau of Prisons, and when they've discovered somebody's missing, it's always at a head count. Well, this shepherd would count the sheep because every little sheep was important. And they'd want to make sure they're all there. Mama and Daddy, we had 5 kids in my family. They used to count heads when we'd get out of the car. I was about 3 years old. We had come home from the grocery store in Texas where we were living at the time. And Mama and Daddy start counting, and there's one missing. It happened to be me. As we were leaving the store, I saw those gumball machines, and I'm like, as a 3-year-old boy, I'm like, I can think I can get some gum out of there. And I kept turning and turning, hoping the gum would come, and it wasn't coming, but I wasn't giving up. So I just kept turning and turning, and they get in the car, don't realize I'm with them, and leave. But they did come back and get me. Daddy was so embarrassed, he made Mama go in to see where I was. And I was still right there at the gum machine, right where they left me. The shepherd would count the sheep. The shepherd would mark the sheep. A lot of times there'd be a little mark in their ear. He knew each sheep individually. He would call each sheep by name. We see that mentioned in John chapter 10. He calleth His own sheep by name, and He leadeth them out. You see, the Lord walks with the flock, but He walks with you individually. David said, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm glad it says shadow. Would you rather deal with death or the shadow of death? I'd rather deal with the shadow. And I'm going to tell you, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary, we just deal with the shadow of death. Now, as far as good things in life, you want the real thing, not the shadow. About 28 years ago, I went to Sister Emily's father and asked for her hand in marriage. And thankfully, he granted his permission. We were talking about Brother Randy having a similar conversation with his father-in-law. And he granted permission. But what would I have done if he'd have said, well, Mark, you can have Emily's shadow, but you can't have her. You think I'd have been satisfied with the shadow? No. The Old Testament Bible says a shadow of good things to come. Well, I'd rather have the good things to come than the shadow. I want the Lord Himself. But for the shadow of death, I'd rather have the shadow. Because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done us, yes, death impacts us. Yes, there could very easily come a day when we breathe our last breath. But I'm going to tell you, there's a part of us that never dies. That soul and spirit that the Lord has changed never, ever dies. And that part of us, when we breathe our last breath, will immediately go to be with our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer in heaven in immortal glory. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. The Lord's bigger than any enemy. Death, Satan, hell, any enemy that may come against us. Our shepherd is bigger than all of them. So if He is with us, we are going to be okay.
And he said, thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. That rod could beat off the adversaries of the sheep. The staff could gently nudge the sheep back where they need to be. If a sheep's about to get in a ditch, they could take the crook on the shepherd's staff and say, wait a minute, come back. And the shepherd's right there. I'm told that it's when the shepherd was going through the valley. It's when the enemies of the sheep would oftentimes be closer. And they'd hear the howl of the lion and of the bear and of the wolf. But I'm told that in those times, they would feel the touch of the shepherd all the more to comfort the sheep. We sing a song, one touch of his gentle hand can strengthen the faintest heart. One touch of his gentle hand, new hope and love can impart. I'll not be afraid to go and bravely take my stand with courage and zeal as long as I feel the touch of his gentle hand, we can face whatever. I'm told that when they were going through the valley, it would be to go to the high tablelands of Israel. There in Ezekiel, where we were reading, the Lord said, I'm going to take you to the high mountains of Israel. I'm going to take you to the high places. I'm going to take you to the places where it's the very best food and the best grazing land for the sheep, where there's unspeakable blessings. A lot of times we learn things in the valley. Sometimes we learn more in the valley than we do on the higher plains. And sometimes it's in the valley we're able to see the beauty of the mountaintop so clearly and so beautifully. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. He said, thou preparest a table. Again, he's interested in the sheep being fed, and he's got a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. And his food is good. His food is just what our soul needs. He said, it's in the presence of mine enemies. This isn't talking about heaven right now. I don't have any enemies in heaven. It's talking about right here upon this earth. We're able to put our feet under the king's table. What a blessing it is. I hope we never take that for granted. I hope we never don't take the sweet opportunities that the Lord gives us to set our feet under his table. Oh, Mephibosheth was called to the house of King David. He said, who can I show love to for Jonathan's sake? And he said, who's left in Jonathan's family? They said, there's one named Mephibosheth, but he's down in Lodabar. He's lame on both his feet. He can't come to the king's house. David said, he doesn't have to come. Go and fetch him and bring him to me. And he put him at the king's table. And I'm going to tell you, though weak and unworthy as we are, though lame as we feel to be, when we put our feet under the king's table, you can't see my lame feet anymore. But we sit at the table as the king's son, rejoicing and what our shepherd has done for us. He said, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. His blessings can more than fill us up. This world leaves us empty. The world and the devil tries to tell us that the things of the world will fill our life and will satisfy us, but it never does. It leaves us empty. But the things of the Lord not only fill us up, our cup runneth over. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. David had had enemies follow him on numerous occasions. King Saul was after him to kill him on numerous occasions. David knew what it was like for an enemy to try to follow him to hurt him. But he said, because the Lord's my shepherd, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
He said, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think David had a great desire to dwell in the house of the Lord. He'll say a few chapters later that it's in the house of the Lord that he could behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And he said, I want to be there all the days of my life. He said, that's really my one thing. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing to behold about the Lord but beauty. Song of Solomon said, he is altogether lovely. We can behold his beauty, and we'll never ever, no matter how long we look, we'll see one spot or one blemish. But I also think David's looking to the day. He said, but I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Think he would dwell in the house of the Lord here in this life, all the days of his life. But he looked forward to the day when he'd be in the Father's house in heaven in immortal glory. I love the way Psalms 22, Psalms 23, and Psalms 24 go together. Brother Green preached so ably there from Psalms 22. That's the victory of the cross. That's the finished work upon the cross. And then Psalms 23 talks about how that same Lord, our same shepherd that gave his life for the sheep on the cross and secured heaven for us on the cross of Calvary, walks with us every single day here in this life, leading, guiding, protecting, comforting, showing us the way. And then Psalms 24, amongst other things, mentions the Lord's two going back into heaven. One, after he had died upon the cross of Calvary, and the victorious, triumphant king ascends back up into heaven in immortal glory. And the divine decree would go up and say, lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. Why? The King of Glory's coming in. Who is this King of Glory? He's the Lord strong and mighty. He's the Lord mighty in battle. He's the one that won the greatest victory on the cross of Calvary against sin, Satan, hell, and death. And the triumphant King is now coming back into heaven. Who is this King of Glory? It's the Lord strong and mighty. It's the Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of Glory. But then there's another coming of Jesus back into heaven. That time he came alone, because he alone fought on the cross of Calvary. He fought that battle alone, and he finished the work alone. But I'm telling to tell you, one sweet day, he's coming back, and all the departed souls and spirits of the saints of God will be with him. And we, who is ever still here of God's people, will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. He's coming with the voice of the archangel. He's coming with the trump of God. And we'll all be gathered together, the entire family of God, paid for, blood bought by the precious blood of Christ. And we'll be together with him, our shepherd. We'll gather every single sheep, body, soul, and spirit. And another divine decree will go forth. As Jesus takes us into heaven and immortal glory, all together, all at once, nobody will be missing. And the divine decree will again say, lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. Why? The King of Glory is coming in. Who is this King of Glory? He's the Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. And on that occasion, he will not be alone, but the triumphant, victorious King will have all of us, all the elect family of God, gathered together, and we'll go in a triumphal entry into heaven. Palm branches of victory for the triumphant King, but we're blessed to be in that victory march with him, not because of anything we've done, but he's given us the spoils of the victory he won. And he'll get into heaven. He'll look at the Father and say, that covenant I made with you before the foundation of the world, I kept it. Not one of them's lost.
Behold, I and the children which God, you have given me. God bless you is my prayer.